In Matthew and Mark and Luke's accounts of Jesus' life, they all record the Last Supper in the upper room, what Joe was talking about, the initiation of communion, the breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine to remember him. In John's account, John does not tell that story in the upper room. John's gospel was written a little bit after the first three were written, and there's a number of things that John picks up that, hey, this happened, and these guys, for some reason, didn't tell it. And so John doesn't tell the story of the Last Supper in the upper room. John tells a different story. John tells a story about how during the dinner that Jesus got up from the dinner and that he took on the appearance of a common house servant. And by doing this, what he did was he removed his outer garment and wrapped a towel around his waist. If you would ever like to get a candid example, I was looking at Tammy, you need to check and see if, was your brother there last night? Sorry, ADD. Yes, you Tammy. Was Tracy there? Okay. Because I walked right by who I thought was him, but you don't walk up to a guy like Tracy unless you know who he is. Because her brother his arms are bigger than a football player's thighs. Tim, that's it. Tim. So yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was him. But anyway, sorry, I just saw. Okay, so it probably was him. I should have said howdy. Let him know I saw him then. So anyway, back on track. So Jesus takes off his outer garment and puts on a towel, and he takes on the appearance of a common house servant or a house slave. And so if you'd ever like to kind of get a candid example of maybe what the disciples' faces look like, then maybe sometime around the table in a family meal at home, then just kind of stand up from the table and just take off all your outer garments and then just look at the faces, and then you'll get a picture of what the disciples' faces might have looked like. Like, what's this guy, what's he doing? What's going on? I mean, if you really want to, you know, shoot for the fences, then you can, you know, wait for Thanksgiving meal. But you can imagine, I mean, just saying that, you immediately got in your mind, what? You can get an idea of what the faces of the disciples would have looked like at that moment, where Jesus was doing this thing that was just crazy. And for us, it would be just this level of, what's he doing? Why is he taking off all his clothes and putting on a towel? For the disciples, there was an even deeper level of confusion that would have been added to this, because he was taking on the appearance of a house servant, of a house slave. Jesus, whom at this point in his life, they had come to understand and know that he was the Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah. And here he is taking on the appearance of a house servant or a house slave. And then he poured water into a basin, and it proceeded to not only look the part of a house servant or a house slave, but he began to act the part by doing the job of a house servant. You can imagine the level of discomfort that would have entered the room as Jesus started taking on the appearance. But if you can imagine the level of discomfort that would have filled that room as he started acting like a servant, acting like a slave, and washing their feet. In fact, when he gets to Peter, there's a little objection there, and they have a little back and forth, but even still, he gets a chance to wash Peter's feet, and he washes all of their feet. He even washes the feet of Judas Iscariot, who had walked previously to betray Jesus. He even washed his feet. John makes a point that he washed his feet also. We are told that when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Core values. This year we have been dedicating a series of sermons to each of our brand new core values. Over the past few years, to kind of catch you up on where we've been as a church, over the past few years, we've been on a church-wide journey called Renewing the Focus, where we've been thoroughly going through our church's strengths and weaknesses, our strengths and challenges. Sorry, I'll be more upbeat on that one. Strengths and challenges. The demographics of our area surrounding the church, the giftedness and the passions that we have within our church. And there's so many other things that we've done on this Renewing the Focus journey. But the idea of this is that we would renew our focus, that we would go back and rethink and relook and reconsider everything and renew our focus. And an important part of this was to revisit our mission statement and to revisit our core values. And in doing so, last year, we created a brand new mission statement and brand new core values. These core values, we'll have them up on the screen. These are up on our website. There we have a brochure out of the Information Center, as well as two different types of brochures at the Information Center. On our website, you can just click the About Us, and you can go right there to our core values and mission statement. And so core value number one, God is first. In all things, following him is the priority. Core value number two, devoted to God. A full dependence on him and a complete abandonment of self. Both the first two, they're very vertical. And they cover the first part of our mission statement, which is growing in God. The second part of our mission statement is investing in people. Growing in God, investing in people. It's been on the sign for a long time. It's in your bulletins there. It was on the slides at the beginning of the service. Growing in God, investing in people. The first two core values are about growing in God. The last three are talking about investing in people. And the first part of that is we transition between the top part and the latter three is growing God's kingdom, core value number three. Increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus, core value number four. Actively investing, taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. And then finally, number five, this core value that we are on right now in this series currently, and that is connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. We talked in our first message of this core value that we needed to define what the idea of a real relationship was in connection with this core value. And in that we understand that these relationships are going to be intentional. They're going to be with purpose, that we would, in these relationships that we form with people, that these real relationships we're talking about, we would work to earn their respect, to earn permissions, so that we would have a window into their life. And in doing so, we would be mindful that our lives are the examples that they're going to look at. So we need to think about that. And that we would develop a stable foundation of trust by keeping our word. That we would provide endurance and encouragement to them by coming alongside them. That because everyone needs an advocate, correct? Everyone needs an advocate. So you become someone's advocate and you've already got a window into their life. You've already stepped into a place where you can have some influence and you can build these real, purposeful, intentional relationships. That we would go into these relationships to present a safe environment by being accepting and non-judgmental, because everyone needs someone they can be themselves around, correct? Everyone needs someone they can talk to. And then I shared that we would be talking over the next 3 weeks about these three little, oh, sorry about that, I was still on that one, that's okay. The three words there at the end of our definition of that core value, compassion, service, and support. We talked about compassion last week, that compassion is a choice, that it's more than just an emotion, it is a virtue. And that instead of being just about pity, compassion needs to be about action, because for Jesus, compassion was always connected to action, that it's not about pity, it's not about looking down at someone, but it's about looking at someone and thinking, how can I lift them up? So it's not down, it's up, is the mentality of compassion, not how we would think about compassion on a worldly level, but the way Jesus looked at compassion, it was, how can I lift this person up? And as we connect with people through compassion, we would reach out to help improve their situation by coming into a position where we are able to help. And we talked a little bit about that, to be able to maintain this attitude of humility, because compassion, the idea is you're coming from a position that is able, and you're helping someone that would not be able to help themselves without external help. That's the idea of compassion. When we look at biblically where compassion always shows up, the way God has compassion on his people, Jesus has compassion on those he had compassion on when he was here on earth, and how we are instructed to have compassion. The whole idea, it's from someone who is in a position that is able to help, helping someone who would not be able to help themselves any other way. So you're reaching out and you're lifting up. That's compassion. Now, service is a little bit different, and we're going to be getting into that a little more later in the service, but the idea of service is it's not reaching out and lifting up. Service is stepping in. Service is joining in with them. So there's a little bit of a difference. So it's a reaching out and lifting up compassion. Service is just stepping in. It's stepping in. It's not quite as complicated as compassion is. You just step in and you help. You serve. That's service. Now, next week we're going to be talking about support. Support is lifting up from underneath, is getting up underneath, getting behind. So that's support. So we're on the middle one with service. Service to serve. I've shared this story before. Some of you are old enough that you won't remember it because, you know, some things just whoosh. So, and then, my very first job, I was a dishwasher. I was a musician, so I was required to start as a dishwasher. That's every musician has to start washing dishes. And so I started my very first job. I was washing dishes, and I don't know why. I started midweek somewhere, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And so I was getting the hang of it, picked up on it real quick. I was, you know, keeping the kitchen together. We had a fountain. They served food, but they also did like ice cream type stuff. And so I was keeping the fountain stocked. I was keeping the kitchen happy. Everything was going. I was rocking and rolling through it. Then my first Friday happened. And oh my goodness, I was in the weeds. I was in bad shape. There were just people from the kitchen. We need dishes. We need salad bowls. We need this. People from the fountain. They say we need carfaits. We need parfaits. We need banana boats. We need everything. We need Sunday dishes. And I'm just, wow, I don't know what. And so something that was kind of unique about this restaurant, it was family owned, and it was the owner loved the restaurant, loved the job so much. He was like always there. He wasn't just the guy that was there wasn't the manager. You had a manager, a shift manager, whatever, but Mr. Gutman was always there. And so Mr. Gutman came through on this Friday night. And I'm sweating it, and people are yelling for things, and he comes through, and there's stuff stacked up, and I'm trying to, and he comes over, and he says, looks like you're a little behind, and I'm thinking, oh, man, here it goes. I'm going to get fired from my first job, you know, and I say, yes, sir, I am, and he said, all right. He tucked his tie into his shirt in between his buttons. He rolled up his sleeves, and he sat there and washed dishes with me until I was totally caught up. And he said, you're doing a great job. Keep going. Best boss ever. I grew so much from Mr. Gutman. He was such a great boss. But that initial beginning and that picture of him jumping in and doing that, that's what service does. You step in. He rolled up his sleeves. He tucked in his tie. And he just stepped into my situation and helped. That's what service is. Jesus gave multiple examples of this through his life, of what service looks like, of this is what it looks like to step into someone's life and just help them out, to step in and help on their level, to get on their level, to step in whatever hole they're in, to step in whatever situation they're in, whatever circumstance they're in, whether they caused or it was caused to them, whatever it is, Jesus would step in. And he gave multiple examples of what that looked like. And the ultimate example of that was when he stepped into every one of us, every one of our lives, and he died on the cross. The ultimate example of what service looks like. That old song, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. That's what he did. He came from heaven to earth. He stepped in. And the ultimate example of what service looks like was given in the cross. And we just read the example that he gave in the upper room as he stripped down to the appearance of a house slave and washed the feet of the disciples. And as Jesus was very clear, he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. No mixing of words, crystal clear. Here's what I've done. Here's what you are to go and do. So let's write this down. It is consistent throughout the Bible that God is the master and his people are his servants. It is consistent. It is across the Old Testament. It is across the New Testament. If you just take a look over the New Testament, and you can see how the writers of the New Testament books address themselves. Multiple times, Paul addresses himself as a servant. James at the beginning of his letter, Peter at the beginning of his second letter, Jude at the beginning of his letter, and John at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. And those are just to highlight a few occurrences that happen at the beginning of books. Go through the gospel accounts. I challenge you to do this week. Go through the gospel accounts and look at the parables. Just look at the parables. You will be amazed to find out how many parables are based around this understanding that there is a master and here are the servants. And in every one of those, God is the master and his people are the servants. And as you start looking, you might come to realize there are a lot of these. There's this one, and that one, and that one. And where God is the master, it is consistent throughout the Bible that God is the master and we are his servants, that his people are his servants. And that's what we are called to be. I have set for you the example, now go and do what I've done. Wash feet. You know, and that's not always God's people. I mean, we have it spelled out for us. But really, if you think about it, people in general tend to be servants, slaves. Let's write this down. Truth is, you will be a slave to something. You will be a slave to something. That is just a fact. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, if you're an atheist or a Christian, a Jew or Muslim, a male or female, no matter what your gender, your ethnicity, your beliefs, your social standing, your financial status, whatever, your past, your present, it does not matter. This is truth. You will be a slave to something. You can freely choose your slavery. Or you can deceptively believe that you are free when in reality you are a slave. Let me unpack this just for a little bit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Freedom, let's write this down. Freedom is found by choosing to be a slave of Christ and a servant of all. That's where freedom is found. Freedom is found through choosing to be a slave, choosing to be a servant of all. Paul says that we shouldn't use our freedom to indulge in the flesh, but instead we should use our freedom to serve one another, to be a slave to one another. To be a slave to Christ, that we should use our freedom to take on the appearance and the actions of a bondservant or a slave. Just like when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he took on the appearance and he took on the actions of a house servant or a house slave. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, he says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature, God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Everyone say nothing. by taking on the very nature of a slave, of a servant, of a bond servant. It's the word that is used there. It's not the choosing to be a slave. It is a bond servant. It is a slave is the word that is used in this passage. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross, the ultimate example of service. Jesus says that we should follow his examples, that we should follow his example, that we should wash each other's feet. Paul here says that we should have the same mindset of Christ, who was God walking on earth, but he chose to be a slave. He chose to be a bondservant, and he humbly gave his life. We choose to be a slave to Christ and a servant of all. We choose that. We have the freedom to choose that, and we freely choose that. As his disciples and Jesus were traveling, some of the disciples were having an argument amongst themselves. And once they get to the place where they're staying and they're settled into the house and everything's all situated there, then Jesus asked them. He says, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. They knew that Jesus would not be happy with that conversation. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Now that's a different Greek word. We're going to talk about these two in a moment. But under this note, this bullet point, the truth is, you will be a slave to something. Freedom is found by choosing to be a slave of Christ and a servant of all. There's a flip side to this. Exercising our freedoms, let's write this down, exercising our freedoms to chase after anything else, everyone say anything else, well, you guys are a defibrillator in here this morning. I didn't see any of the rest of you guys at the LA Guns concert last night. You should have gotten plenty of sleep. Exercising our freedoms to chase after anything else will deceptively result in slavery. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 4 about the empty-headedness of Gentile thinking, the futility of their thinking, that their thinking is futile, it's empty. He says, losing all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Paul's capturing this picture of the type of people, and we've seen it around us. And if you're true to yourself, if you're honest to yourself, you've probably seen it in your own life as well. Where we say, "I'm free and I can exercise my freedoms," but in doing so, you'll find that some of those freedoms will end up, you'll want more and more and more, and this indulgence will move to a loss of sensitivity, and it'll move towards a craving for sensuality, which then Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 4, that they are full of greed. That's what greed is. You want more, and you want more, and you want more, and you want more. That doesn't sound like freedom, does it? That's slavery. That's the deceptive way that our freedom, and we celebrate our freedom and we exercise our freedom, and we've got a lot of people that are free that are slaves because their freedom takes them there. I'd rather be free by choice or slave by choice because I used my free will to choose to be a slave rather than think I'm free but actually be a slave deceptively. I mean, that's just me. I think this side seems a little better. At least I know what's going on here. But we know this to be true. We've seen it around us. We've seen it in our own life. And we know that that's true. That it is true that you will be a slave to something. You can either choose your slavery or you can deceptively believe that you're free and actually be a slave anyway. Those of us who have chosen Christ, we've chosen to be a slave of Christ and a servant of all. And those of us who have chosen that, we know this to be true as well. Let's go and write this down. Choosing to serve as a slave of Christ is a constant choice. It is a constant choice. It happens over and over and over again. We have to constantly choose because we do have the freedom to choose not to be a slave, to choose not to be a servant, to choose to follow our own desires, a freedom to walk away, freedom to walk however we want. So it is a constant choice to choose to be a slave of Christ and a servant of all. The word serve, or variations of the word serve, so serve, serving, servant, servants, shows up in the New Testament over 250 times. 250 times in the New Testament that word shows up. There are a number of Greek words used to translate into the word servant in the New Testament. There are two that are the biggest two, the most popular. The first one is diakonos, which is where we get our word deacon. Those of us who are familiar with the word deacon, deacon just means servant. It means to serve. It can also be translated as a minister. The second Greek word that you find, that the second largest one, is doulon. And that is used to describe a slave or a bondservant. The Vine's Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament words gives a very nice definition of the difference between these two words. He says diakonos views a servant in relationship to his work. Doulon views him in relation to his master. Okay, I'll read that again. Diakonos views a servant in relationship to his work. Doulon views him in relationship to his master. Let's write this down. We responsibly, with a B, responsibly, and responsively. So there's a responsibleness to it, and there's a responsiveness to it, that Christ served us, and so we serve. Christ died on the cross for us so we could have life, so we give our life to him. So we have a response to that, and so we serve. We are responsible with the gifts that we've been given, the talents we've been given, the people that we have an opportunity to share with, those real relationships that we have intentionally built into, we have a responsibility to serve. Diakonos. In your bulletins, beside that note, there are a number of passages that use this Greek word. Mark 9, the passage we read earlier, it uses this Greek word where Jesus says that we should be a servant of all. So it was the only one I was referring to there. I think I'll hit another one here in a few minutes. kind of funny. I shared a huge amount of stories the first Sunday I was back from my beach trip, and then we had the one big this one's a story from the beach trip, but it's not near as cool and spiritual as those were. At the beach house where we were coming in from the beach, we had a hose kind of at the end of the sidewalk there where we could spray our feet and sandals off and make sure, you know, we weren't bringing sand into the house. And so I was the one. I'd get there and I'd get the hose, and I was spraying off their feet and spraying off their sandals and spraying off. And my sister noted. She said, "This is funny. The preacher's washing everybody's feet every time we come in from the beach." And I thought, yeah, that is kind of funny. In the back of my head, I said, it's even funnier because I'm not doing it because I'm serving. I'm doing it because my name's on the lease. My name's on the paperwork. So, yeah, we're going to. And, you know, when I thought about that, I was like, you know, that is service because that's responsible. So there's a part of it that's responsive. But there's also a part of service that's being responsible. And so we operate on both of those, diakonos. We belong to God. Let's write this one down. This is doulon, and it's spelled with an S. There's not a typo there, but it's pronounced doulon. We belong to God as his bond servants. That word can also be translated as slave. The NIV often translates that just as servants. The NAS adds bond servants to separate the time when diakonos is being used and when doulon is being used. Doulon captures this idea that in our relationship, not to our service, but in a relationship to our owner, we belong to God. Sometimes we forget that. I think we remember it pretty clear. We know it pretty clear when we make this decision. That's a big deal. To say, yes, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. I'm ready to be baptized into him, to give my life. He is my God. I am his child. He is master. I am servant. But I think as we start walking away from that day, walking away from that event, it's so much easier to say the words, yes, he's my master. Yeah, he's father. He's my dad. He's in charge. But we don't act like it some of the times, do we? So no one's going to say a word. This is the truth. We belong to him. That's simple. That's it. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You gave that away. You gave that up. You traded your freedom for slavery by a free choice. Because this slavery was much better than the slavery that you were in. Amen. We need to be reminded of that. We are doulon. We are bond servants. We belong to God. Fact. This word shows up in a number of different places. Right there, the passage is there. When Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he says about the service, it's this word because that's the picture he created. He took on the appearance of a bond servant. So that's in John chapter 13. We see this when Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that we should take on the same attitude of Christ, that we should take on the same mindset of Christ and how we interact with each other, that we should take on the attitude of being a servant. It is this word. A slave, a bond servant. In the passage we read earlier about freedom in Galatians, the NIV kind of loses, even with the NAS saying bond servant, we kind of lose a little bit of the intended paradoxical idea here where Paul's saying, you have the freedom to be a slave. When we have the softer word servant, we miss that doulon. The word doulon is used in that passage. You have freedom, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, use your freedom to serve. It's the verb version of doulon, to serve as a bond servant, to serve as a slave, those around you. And we miss that huge separation in these two words that are often opposites to be used right there together. Use your freedom to be a slave. But that's what it is, because we belong to God. And that's where real freedom is found. Couple verses these are simple verses, but we get a chance to see the picture of these two words. The first one, diakonos, or diakoneo, which is the verb form. In John chapter 12, it says, whoever serves, that's the verb form, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant, noun form, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So that's diakonos. Which, let's go on to the next slide, which is where we are responsibly and responsively we give our service. And then doulon, Ephesians chapter 6, serve, that's the bond servant, that's the verb version, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. And that's doulon. That's the word that means we belong to God as his servants. We are his servants. So we connect with others through service. This whole thing, we're talking about this idea of connecting with people through these intentional relationships, these real relationships. So how do we connect? How do we connect by stepping in? What does that look like? Let's go and take some quick notes here at the very end of your bulletin there. As we serve others, we connect by communicating value. When you step into someone's situation, when you step into someone's circumstance, when you step into their lives, you communicate value when you step in and you serve. And you simply say, you know, what can I do to help? How can I help? Maybe you have a gift or a talent and you step in. The Bible's very clear that we should use our gifts to serve others. That's one of the verses I didn't read from 1 Peter chapter 4. We should use our gifts to serve others. And that's in many other places than just that one passage. So sometimes it's because you have a specific gift or a specific talent that can help that person. So you step in and you say, hey, let me come alongside you. I can help. That communicates value. How many of you guys have ever had someone step into your situation, step in with you and help by serving? Okay, that's, I would imagine most hands. Maybe there are some hands like this, but did that create value? Okay, I mean, if you disagree, that's fine. You can disagree and that's, but if we're 100% on this, then that's truth we can take to the bank. When we connect with other people and we step in, and it's just as simple, you just step in. You just step into their situation and you serve. Use whatever you can to serve and help them and come alongside them. And that communicates value. When we serve others, we connect by representing Jesus' attitude and actions. I don't think I need to preach on that very much. That just stands on its own. When you serve, people see Jesus. They see his attitude. They see his actions. They see it through you. We talked earlier in one of the other core values that we are Jesus' ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Christ, the salt and the light of the earth. When we serve, as we serve others, we connect by entering into an inside position to help by joining them. And this, I've been preaching this throughout, but now you get a chance to write it down and take it home with you. When we connect with others, we join in. We step in. We join in, and we enter into an inside position. Compassion, we're helping from a position that is able. I'm able to help. I'm able to help lift you up. Let me help. And I gave the example, just a goofy example, someone standing on the bank of a river reaching in, or maybe the side of a pool somewhere, and they're reaching in and they're helping you up out of the pool or up out of the river. That's the idea. Service is you're joining in, you're stepping in, you're getting into the pool and helping. You're getting into the water, you're getting into the river, whatever it may be there. You are entering into an inside position to help by joining them. As we serve others, we connect by revealing through actions who we serve and what real freedom looks like. When you step in, and it becomes apparent that the reason why you took that step is because Jesus is your leader, because God is your master, then that opens a door. That opens a door to be able to show them what real freedom looks like. Because you and I both know that statement earlier is truth. You're going to be a slave to something. And maybe you stepped into someone's situation and they needed someone to step into their situation because they were a slave to something. They are a slave to something. They're struggling. They're dealing with something. And you stepped in because you knew there's freedom to be found. And the only way I'm going to be able to start communicating this freedom is to build this real relationship, to earn respect, to earn permissions, to build a solid foundation of trust by keeping my word, by encouraging and by going alongside them, to give them endurance to go through. Is this bringing up some things from a few weeks ago? To provide a safe environment where they can be who they are, because everyone needs to be able to be themselves around somebody. Everyone needs an advocate. And when you step into their situation, you have the ability to open the door to show them, I stepped in because I chose a different kind of slavery. I chose slavery to God. I chose to be a servant to all. And that's why I stepped in. Because I care about you. And there's something better out there for you. There's freedom to be found. And when you step in, that communicates, that reveals through your actions who you serve, who your master is, and what real freedom looks like. You know, we live in a world where peace is not a common word. I mean, you look at it, especially across America. Oh my goodness. The number of health problems we have that are stress related are outrageous. And they compound, they jump on each other. This causes this, and this causes this, and this causes this. That's no mystery. Peace is not. You know, you look around, I mean, goodness, you look around even here sometimes. Joy isn't always out there, is it? And you go to work, and you got, maybe that's some of you guys too. But, you know, it's just not there. You go to your home, you go to your house, and it's just not there. We have peace, don't we? We should be the bearers of joy. We should be filled with joy because we serve. Because anyone's experienced this, that brings joy. To step in, especially if you can see that it makes a difference. That gives a whole nother level of joy. But just the simplicity of stepping in, there's a joy to be found there. And when we do so with purpose, do we not? Intentionality, we talked about that a few weeks ago. We step in with purpose. And see, when we connect with people through this, we're going to present for them a countercultural way of looking at life. They're living life as a free person who's actually a slave, exercising their freedom, but really being a slave. And they don't have peace, and they don't have joy, and they don't have purpose. But guess what? You have all three. Amen? So when you step in, you are bringing in with you, let's write this down, you are bringing in with you a countercultural lifestyle. Should be the next. There we go. We offer a countercultural lifestyle that is full of peace, joy, and purpose. Connecting with people, building real relationships through compassion, through what? What are we talking about today? There we go. Thank you. Building real relationships, connecting with people through compassion and service and support. Next week, pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the ultimate example of your son. His example of service that gave life to us all. Father, we are very thankful for that. Help us to be obedient as we picture the slave version of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Father, help us to be mindful of who we belong to. Help us to reflect today on the truth that we will be a slave to something, that we have to constantly choose you as our master and not ourselves. Father, I pray that as we build these relationships, that as we make it a very intentional, a very purposeful goal as a church, everyone in this church, that we would be using these core values, implementing these core values because they are biblical. That we would have compassion, as we talked about last week, that we would connect with people through compassion, that we would connect with people through service. That in the times when we recognize that compassion is the way to step to enter into that relationship, that we can go from a position that is able and reach down and reach out and help lift them up. Other times, Father, help us to use discernment, to know when the right time is just to step in, just to go alongside, to be a servant, to be a slave, to show value. To show what freedom looks like, to reveal peace and joy and purpose. Father, to represent your son, to represent his attitude and his actions. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.